This is The Faith Debate, a theological roundtable gabfest, a free-for-all forum with faith community leaders wrestling over the truth. In less than one half hour, learn more about what really matters than what most others learn in a week. The Faith Debate is on the World Wide Web at WFMD.com, keyword faith. Are you ready for the clash of ideas? Are you ready for the sound of freedom? Let's get ready to rumble in this corner, weighing in with a Master of Divinity from Reformed Theological Seminary, the Faith Debate Master of Ceremonies, Troy Skinner.
Down here in the valley, every shadow you see has its own story. Down here in the valley, every puddle of mud comes from tears and blood, and it's so hard just to get warm that the chill turns into despair. Down here in the valley, nothing's able to grow because the light's so low. Folks spend their days digging around for diamonds and gold till they just get old. And they don't know anything else. They don't know that they're breathing bad air. But I'm tired of living like this, and my soul cries out, if you're there, call me up to your side, draw me up to your light, let it blind me, Lord. Refine me out of my mind. Will you lift me up with tender care? Will you wash me clean in the palm of your hands? Lord, hold me close so I can thrive. When you touch me, that's when I know I'm alive. Words by Peter Furler with Steve Taylor of Newsboys fame. That's something I posted on Facebook this past year. It's one of my favorite songs. Love the lyrics in that song. I like a good beat as well as anybody else, but I am a lyric man. I love songs that have good lyrics. I am Troy Skinner. This is The Faith Debate. And if you listened last week, then you know what you're in store for this week. No panel discussion. I'm doing a social media review. Things that I posted on Facebook last year that got an interesting response, lots of likes, or sparked some conversation. And I thought I would, you know, and some people shared my stuff on Facebook. Well, I'm going to share some of my Facebook stuff here on the air with you. So let me jump right in. Here's a couple of quotes from sermons preached this past year. We can fool ourselves when we place the sights of our love on the worldly, on mere examples, on mere heightened personal experiences. But the spiritual can be divine or evil. Those who claim to be inspired must be tested. Those who claim Christ must test the confession of their own lips. It's an absolute must that we know what Jesus we claim to love. Are we loving some concept of Jesus that we or others have made up on our own, saying that in this experience we saw God? Or are we loving the Jesus of the Bible? And here's another one. Today's world thinks of love as merely an emotion, a warm and fuzzy. There's a sort of mush that we mean by the word love. That's not what the Bible means by love, though. Love suffers long, rejoices in truth, bears and endures all things. Love is tough. It's not marshmallows and lollipops. It's beef jerky and leather hide. I saw an article posted by Carl Truman that I put a link on, and it got some traction and spawned some conversation. And let me share with you part of that post. What happens with the cult of personality movement loses its personalities? My favorite quote from the attached Carl Truman article, which you obviously can't link to here on the radio show. Carl Truman writes, while Joshua Harris seems to be making a clean break with his past, the style of his apostasy announcement is oddly consistent with the evangelical Christianity he used to represent. Quick pause. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, Joshua Harris is a very high profile leader in the Western American context, church, evangelical church, you know, particularly in Reformed circles, has written some books that were very successful and has become a voice that people paid attention to. And then all of a sudden, he announced via social media that he was giving up his ministry and he wasn't even a Christian. So that's the context that Carl Truman's writing about here. So picking back up with Truman, talking about Joshua Harris, Josh revealed he was leaving the faith with a social media post, which included a mood photograph of himself contemplating a beautiful lake. The earlier announcement of his divorce used the typical postmodern jargon of journey and story. And both posts were designed to play to the emotions rather than to the mind. Life, it would seem, continues as performance art. It's so true. So true, the state of the church is in right now. And so people responded back and forth, and somebody commented on the post saying, in response to my post, saying, you know, well, he probably, you know, if he made this announcement like this, he probably, you know, made this decision a long time ago, and he might have even announced it to certain people in different contexts a long time ago and didn't just do it mere from social media and that sort of thing. Anyway, part of my response back was, according to the Apostle John, if Josh or Joshua has indeed, quote unquote, left the faith, then Josh never truly was in Christ. That's according to the Apostle John. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, we read, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Here's another story. Striking that this table talk article was written nearly 30 years ago, and I provided a link to it. The article reads as though it could have been written yesterday afternoon. Here's a snippet of why I say this. Quote, Satan is less concerned with those ministers who openly deny the deity of Christ, the truthfulness of Holy Scripture, and the supernatural reality of the gospel. Their apostasy is secure. His chief aim is to corrupt the rising generation of evangelical church leaders by subverting their biblical values and theological conviction until by osmosis they have forfeited their birthright and know not that it is gone. Part of me wonders if that might have been what was going on with Joshua Harris in some way of thinking about it. Headline to this one. This is from an article online that I shared. Texas Design Conference drops Christian speaker in name of safe space for everyone. Doesn't matter exactly who the speaker is. The fact that he was a high-profile local pastor and he was on the docket to make a presentation at a conference, a Texas Design Conference, and then people were outraged that a Christian pastor would be welcome to speak. So to provide a safe space for everybody who would be offended, they disinvited the Christian speaker, the pastor, to speak. And so that got me wondering, so I wrote this. I said, what sort of horrible creature is this? A boogeyman, to be sure, right? Let's peek under the hood. The man himself says, this pastor himself says, I consider myself blessed as my entire life testifies to God's endless grace and mercy. And the website from the place that he works says, we believe that all humanity is created in the image of God and possesses intrinsic dignity and worth. Yep, clearly a boogeyman. Any space entered by such a monster becomes, presto, unsafe. Surprising he's not in jail yet. Here's a headline. Bachelorette star Hannah Brown, remember her from last year? Bachelorette star Hannah Brown addresses show criticism saying, quote, I refuse to believe I give Christians a bad name. And so I said in response to this story, I am struck hard upside the head by this controversy. All of us Christians give Christians a bad name. Failure to own this sad truth is a sin of the generations. It is called, can you guess it? That's right, pride. Got quite a bit of traction on that one on social media. Let me do one more before I reset the show here before I tell you what you're listening to. And I made the mistake last week in reading these of talking about having lost people to death during the past calendar year. And I realized, oops, I jumped ahead and grabbed the wrong piece of paper. But this time, this is a personal example of what I was talking about last week. I just learned by reading a friend's Facebook post, a friend named Dave, that a former colleague has died. Dan Rubato, known professionally as Dan Elliott, was a longtime singer with the Belmonts and the Monterays. He also sang with the Glenn Miller Orchestra and Foreign Intrigue. The last song he recorded that I know of was a cute Christmas song called The Bell That Couldn't Jingle. And there's a video of that online if you want to Google The Bell That Couldn't Jingle, and you can see Den Elliott singing it. It's a really cute, fun video. Anyway, it has been 19 years since I last saw Dan, but he has entered my thoughts many times over the years. He was part of the sales team for WSYR and WHEN while I was the program director for those radio stations. It is not false praise when I say that Dan was consistently a ray of sunshine in what could often be a concrete gray world. Syracuse, New York just grew a bit dimmer with the setting of one of its favorite suns. This was posted on right after Father's Day. Day after, I think. The happy, happy, joy, joy posts of the past 24 hours might have been hard for some. If you're one of them, then these words are for you. God has a special place in his heart for the fatherless. Psalm 27 says, "Though my father forsake me, the Lord will receive me." Too many earthly fathers have been absent and have not done their job. God offers to fill the role of a father, inviting us to call out to him, to cast our worries on him, and to enjoy his company. He models what he had in mind when he designed earthly fatherhood, and therefore no one need be without a perfect father. I encourage you to meditate upon this truth. I know that I will. This is the Faith Debate Special Edition. I'm going through my social media feed from this past year on things that have to do with faith matters or things that got a lot of traction and seem to be interesting. And so they got shared on social media. I figured I'd share them on the radio. Here's a quick blurb of a post. The Gypsy King gives thanks to the King of Kings. I love that the first thing Tyson Fury has on his mind after winning his heavyweight title fight, the first thing on his mind is his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I love that the second thing on his mind is to thank the fans and the hospitality of the nation which hosted the event. The Gypsy King, first class dude. Facebook popped up this memory. And boy, it was so long ago. Can you even remember way back to the time when U.S. immigration policy was screwed up and the political legal challenges at the U.S. southern border were confusingly complex? So glad everything is smooth sailing now. Sarcasm font, obviously. Yeah, I had posted something a few years ago that talked about immigration and failure to have any sort of checks and balances on it, so it seems sometimes. And so I was mockingly saying, oh, glad we solved that one. Ah, I hope you hear this one. Parents, a reminder for you. You are the expert when it comes to your child. Too often the so-called experts are flat wrong when it comes to what is best for your son or daughter. Even the really smart professionals, they should be consulted, but not blindly followed. This is an interesting football season. So you know it was the NFL celebrating its 100th season, and so I wrote this. This will be the 100th year of Chicago Bears football. This year it's Super Bowl 54, Brian Urlacher's number, played on George Halas' birthday and Matt Nagy's wedding anniversary. How many seasons since the Bears last won the NFL championship? 34, which is, of course, sweetness, Walter Payton's number. The math is clear, so place your bets now. The Monsters of the Midway will win it all in February. Well, that didn't quite work out, did it? I don't understand why. Podcaster Ben Shapiro lost two of his sponsors, a phone app, Calm, and a toothbrush, Quip. And the reason they canceled their sponsorship appears to be this quote from Mr. Shapiro. He says, quote, "The argument, I guess, here is that would you kill baby Hitler? And the truth is that no pro-life person on earth would kill baby Hitler because baby Hitler wasn't Hitler. Adult Hitler was Hitler. Baby Hitler was a baby. What you presumably want to do with baby Hitler is take baby Hitler out of baby Hitler's house and move baby Hitler into a better house where he would not grow up to be Hitler, right? I mean, that's the idea. And people were horribly offended by that. And so I just posted that quote and asked, what is it about this quote that is so very offensive? And I'm not asking rhetorically. I'd sincerely like to better understand the opinions of those who are offended by the quote. And so I got some responses to that, but I'm not here to share those responses. You can, you know, pay attention to Facebook, I guess, if you want to see what the responses were. Here's a quote. Here, basic rules of good dialogue are helpful. Avoid labels and name-calling. Engage with people's explicit statements, not speculations about their hidden intentions. This applies very nicely to the Ben Shapiro story. Attack ideas, not people. Ask questions. Speak truth in love with words full of grace, seasoned with salt. In an increasingly tribalized and fractured culture, Christians should be known for graciousness towards those with whom they disagree, particularly those who profess faith in Christ. So I've got some people that they look at me as like an online, you know, thesaurus or encyclopedia or dictionary or something, and they'll ask me to fact check stuff. So somebody said, hey, Troy Skinner, any way to check this out? And so I looked it up, and then you'll be able to tell through context, I think, what he was asking about. So he's asking about Christian persecution being, you know, at a really high level. So I said, this is being reported afresh this week, talking about the plight of Christians in other parts of the world. But it is not technically news. Christian persecution has exploded in recent years, as reported by a vast variety of sources. It's found its way into the news this week because some quote-unquote important people are beginning to finally recognize and admit what's happening. Now, to clarify what I wrote above, while the extremely heightened level of global Christian persecution appears to be undeniably true, the article's position, because there was a link that was sent to me to look at, the article's position that Christianity could become globally extinct, that's nonsense. Christ wins. His church is preserved. The enemy of God is defeated. As Christians know these things for certain. So I said, I highly recommend connecting to this other link. It's a sort of longish article, but I commend that it be read from start to finish if you can spare the time. It's full of good stuff, and it helps directly answer your questions. So do your research and homework, you know, before blindly just posting things, sharing things, or flying off the handle on things on social media. Here's a quote that seems to tie into some of the things I'm talking about here on the show today. A word of reminder to my brothers and sisters, quote, whoever corrects a mocker invites insult. Teach a righteous man, and he will add to his learning. That's Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 9, I believe. So here's somebody else asking me to fact check something for them. Unreal, Troy Skinner asked me, is this a real story? And I was a little bit confused, but I think you'll be less confused as I read through my answer. You'll figure out what I'm talking about. So I said, I'm not sure what you're asking. This story is a few years old. Be careful about distributing old stories on social media, by the way, unless you're going to do it for a purpose and you draw attention to the fact that it's an old story. Anyway, so I said, this story is a few years old, but as I recall, there has been little dispute that the United States sent $1.7 billion to Iran in 2015, plus the equivalent of billions more with relaxed sanctions. This, of course, is the cash payment thing and the appeasement of the Iranians. At least that's the way it's positioned by people on the right end of the political spectrum versus the left end of the political spectrum. Of course, there's been political debate over the motive and the timing for all of this money transfer. Seems the United States owned Iran $1.7 billion, which is what the Democrats like to highlight. But that money had been owed for 35 years, so why all of a sudden give it to them unless it had to do with buying them off? Well, this is what the Republicans like to highlight. The whole thing smells. I believe all the money is tied into I'm agreeing with the Republican position on this. Iran gave the United States $400 million for military equipment. The United States never delivered the equipment for obvious reasons. A generation later, the United States gave Iran the money back with $1.3 million in interest. And so it's true when Democrats say that the United States was merely giving Iran what was theirs. However, Iran didn't get their money back for more than 35 years. So it's more than a fair point for Republicans to highlight the quote-unquote convenient timing of the money going to Iran. This guy is by far, this, you'll get this from, they just did the greatest of all time Jeopardy thing last month in prime time on ABC. And so they did that because there was heightened interest in these great players of all time. Brad Rutter and Ken Jennings, and now the newcomer, James Holzhauer. And so I wrote, this guy is by far the most amazing Jeopardy contestant ever. James Holzhauer has won nearly $1 million in just 13 games. Before James came along, the Jeopardy record for a single game was $77,000. Holzhauer is averaging $72,500. He's making Ken Jennings look like a piker. And then another post, I think it was the very next day, I said, the current Jeopardy champion has won $1,061,544 in just 14 days. That's an average of nearly $76,000 per show. And keep in mind that the single game record up until a couple weeks ago was $77,000. The guy's averaging almost $77,000. Will he ever be beat? Well, the United Nations report says that the Earth has just 128 months to go, so if James is still playing in 2030, perhaps it'll be global climate change that finally ends his historic winning streak. How is tongue-in-cheek there, obviously. And he obviously went on to lose. And then Ken Jennings beat him in the Best of All Times championship. It was fun to watch that. All right, so two quotes that I read today, and I asked my people on social media to share with me what they think of them. The first quote, the first great lie is, if you work hard enough, you can be anything you want to be. The second lie is, like the first one, yet possibly even more damaging, you can be the best in the world. We are only called to steward our own talents and opportunities, not those allotted to people like Mark Zuckerberg or Steve Jobs. So success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction and knowing that you did your best to become the best that you are capable of becoming. And I said, I too see the truth in the second one, because we have some debate about this. Actually, I can see the two quotes complementing one another from a particular point of view. Let's see, I'm trying to look at the clock here, a little distracted. Sorry if I'm feeling a little disjointed here. I have time to maybe do one more before we wrap up today's show. My son, Tyler, loves music, and so we take him to concerts. He's an adult, but he's got some special needs that he are challenges for his. Anyway, so I wrote, Tyler had a good time with his parents at the Gatlin Brothers concert yesterday. The show was filled with humor, political incorrectness, and memories of hit songs from decades ago. With so much patriotism and concern for the United States on display, one wonders if there's a new meaning intended for portions of the song Broken Lady. If you're not familiar with the Gatlin Brothers' Broken Lady, here are the opening lyrics in the chorus to Broken Lady. And try imagining that the lady is America, okay? The lady as America. She's a broken lady waiting to be mended, like a potter would mend a broken vase. A broken lady waiting to be mended and have what's left of the pieces put back in place. I know, one wonders just a little bit. Anyway, this is The Faith Debate. I am Troy Skinner. Doing kind of a special edition of the show right now. Don't have a panel. Was working on having a panel. Things kind of fell apart and the show must go on. I thought, what can I do? And I thought, you know, I'm going to go through the things on my social media feed that got some traction this past year and give them some traction on the air. And so that's what we've been doing. So thank you for sharing the moment with me this morning. Might do more of the same again next week. We'll see. I think I'm going to plan on that. So hopefully you'll be there for it. If you want to hear panel discussion shows, you can do so right now. You can go online and listen to podcasts. You can find the podcast at WFMD.com. You can also find links to recent podcasts on the WFMD Facebook page. And if you want to see what's coming up in the near term or the kinds of shows that we've aired over the last several years, you can see all of that outlined for you on the Faith at Bay page on WFMD.com. There's a couple ways to get there. You can go to WFMD.com and click on the little drop-down menu for the on-air tab, or you can put in the keyword field the word faith and find your way to the show that way. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Until next week, 167 and a half hours from right now, God bless.